If you're a follower of Jesus, what should come first in your life? What should come first? It's an easy question. The answer starts with G and rhymes with God. If you're a Christian, what should come first in your life? God should come first in your life, right? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Jesus said, the most important command is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. If you're a follower of Jesus, what should come first in your life? The answer is God should come first in our lives. Sadly, though, many of us claim that God is first in our lives, but our lives don't reflect God being the first priority. And I'll illustrate this to you and ask you, what are some categories in life? What are some priorities? God is a priority in your life. What are some other categories in your life that would be something important? What else? God and marriage? Family? If you're married, you better prioritize your spouse. If you have kids, you want to prioritize your kids. You want to value your grandma, your grandpa, your brothers, your sisters. Family should be very important to you. What else would be in there? I would say your career. You maybe went to college, you borrowed, you know, $40 million to get a degree, you're paying off your debt. You'll be doing that for the rest of your life, it feels like. Because why? You want to have a good career. You want to have a good job. You want to have a profitable income. You want to do something that matters. What else do you have in your life? You're going to have your money on your stuff. Stuff costs money. You want to buy some decent stuff. You don't want your stuff to own you, but you want to have a good life. You want to enjoy it. And then I'm just going to say, just to keep it simple, your hobbies, right? You want to enjoy some things that you do. If we're a follower of Jesus, what should be number one? And the answer is God. God. If you're a follower of Jesus, what should be number two? What do you think? Family? Probably your family. And let's just stop there because, you know, we could go on. But let's just do some real talk. Is this a reflection of most of our lives? Probably not. I can't speak for you, but a lot of people that I see, or even in my own life, there's often something else that seems to go first. One of the most common things that I see that goes first would be your job. Your career just takes up a lot of time. And then hopefully you get home and you have some left over for your family, and you treat your family well, you yell at your kids, you have a decent marriage, hopefully. And then after that, I'm going to say that for a lot of us, you got to pay the bills, and you want to work hard, and you got to have a nice life, and you got to have money and stuff in order to enjoy your hobbies. And you don't want to miss whatever your hobby is. CrossFit, video games, watercolor, competitive speed knitting, whatever it is. You want to have your hobbies. And then God. Because in many of our lives, what happens is we say that God is first, but our actions say something very different. The title of today's message is A Faith That Puts God Second. We're in the message series called Christian-ish. If you missed maybe the last couple of weeks, you say, what in the world does it mean to be Christian-ish? Well, Christian-ish would be somebody, there's a lot of people like this, I've been like this, that might have a half-hearted faith, and is someone that would wear the label Christian. Of course, I'm a Christian, but they don't fully follow Jesus. And one of the most common qualities of someone that is Christian-ish is someone that has what we'll call a faith that puts God second. How would we define that? A good working definition would be this. A faith that puts God second reflects a divided heart, where God is first in your words, but not in your life. It's a faith that puts God second. Like we say, yeah, I truly want to honor God. I want to live for God. I want to please God in what I do. Jesus gave his life for me. I want him to be the Lord of my life. And so I'm going to put him first, and I'm going to love him, but then life starts happening and distractions start taking over. And we claim that God should be first in our life, but God actually often gets left out. A faith that puts God second. The Bible says anytime that we put something ahead of God, it's called idolatry. So I want to show you two Bible verses on idolatry. The first one is the very first command of the Ten Commandments. If God's going to give you the first of Ten Commandments, one that comes first, all of them important, but one comes first. This one comes first. In Exodus 23, God says, you shall have no other gods before me. You shouldn't have any idols. There should be nothing in our lives that we rank as a higher priority than the Lord our God. That's the Old Testament. We see it in the New Testament as well. John said this. He said, dear children, what should you keep yourselves free from? You should keep your lives free from idols. Now, if you're like me, when you think of idols, what do you think of? I tend to think of someone bowing down to a golden statue. It's an idol. It's a golden calf or something like that. And that would be an idol. But an idol, according to God's word, is actually much different from that. I would say to you this. Idolatry isn't just bowing to golden statues. It's putting anything before God. It's anything, even a good thing that we put before God. And when we take a step back and we look at this, okay, if God is who he says he is, he's the creator, the sustainer, the Lord of all, the king of all kings. If he is that, then he has the right to ask us to put him first. But practically speaking, let's just be real. Like, practically speaking, that's a big ask. Because we all have priorities, right? We all have dreams. We all have interests. We have a lot going on in our lives. We've got a lot to do. Why is God being so demanding? Why does God want to be first? Well, I can give you 100 reasons, We're going to focus on one of those reasons today. Besides the fact that he's worthy of it, one of the things we need to understand is that God wants to be first in our lives because God is a jealous God. God is a jealous God. I'm going to ask you for your honesty. How many of you would be honest enough to say, and you may not feel this way, but how many of you, when you hear that God is a jealous God, that metaphor doesn't sit well with you? Anybody say, I don't really like God is jealous. I don't really like that because God is petty like that. Somebody goes, hey, I had a jealous ex, and that didn't go well. I'm not bringing God into this conversation. Ain't no way. I don't really love that idea of God being a jealous God. But when we look at Scripture, Scripture is really, really clear that God is a jealous God. Let's look at three verses. We're going to start in Exodus. Exodus 34, verse 14 tells us, do not worship any other god, for the Lord, what is his name? Whose name is jealous. Is a what? He is a jealous God. Let's look again at Exodus 20, verse 5, that says, you shall not bow down to idols or worship them. Why? Because the Lord your God, he says, I am a jealous God. The next verse says this, Deuteronomy 4, 24, for the Lord your God is a consuming fire. What is God? God is a jealous God. Now, if it comes across to you kind of negative, like, why would God be jealous? I mean, that's some kind of petty human emotion. Makes God sound insecure. If you have that reaction, so did I. We step back and we recognize who is God. God is infinite in power. God is perfect in holiness. God is sovereign over all creation. Why would a God like that be jealous? Well, when Scripture describes God as a jealous God, it's important to understand that metaphor in a biblical and a relational context is something powerful from the original language. The word that's translated as jealous in the Old Testament is a word, kanal. Kanal. It's a very interesting word. If you look at this word, kanal, the root word actually has only one N. This word has two. The root word kanal with one N describes human jealousy. But when there's a second N or none, that's Hebrew, and when it has a second N, this word becomes a word that is only ever used for God. The second N is what's known as an intensifier in Hebrew grammar. The second N intensifies jealousy to the infinite degree. There is no jealousy in the world greater than when kanal has a second N. The second N says it's reserved for God and God alone. It's not human jealousy, which is flawed and self-serving, like my jealousy or like yours. No, God's jealousy is rooted in his covenant of love for us. In fact, the word kanal with two N's, it describes God's righteous, consuming, covenant-keeping jealousy that relentlessly pursues and protects his relationship with people. It's a righteous, holy, consuming jealousy from a God who gave it all for you and wants you to give it all back to him. It's his covenantal jealousy. In fact, in the New Testament, God describes his jealousy this way. He says, I am jealous for you. Not with a petty jealousy, not with a human jealousy, but with what? With a godly jealousy. It's a different kind of jealousy that is holy and righteous, is pure, is passionate, and is protective. Why? Because God loves you and God wants what's best for you. And anytime you put something, anything, before him, it hurts you. David said this. He said, those who run after other gods, those who chase after idols, those who don't put God first, those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. Can we slow it down for a minute? If you're struggling, you're hurting, you're dissatisfied, there's something in you that you know it's not the way it should be. Maybe it's because you're putting something before God in your life, and that idolatry is taking a toll on your life. Maybe you find yourself, you've got constant tension all the time. You always feel overwhelmed. You're anxious. Maybe you battle with depression. It might be that you feel disconnected from God. You try to talk to him, but you don't sense him. Or maybe you feel disconnected from people. You don't have anybody that you really trust in your life. Anyone that you can open up with and bear your soul and don't know if they're really going to be there for you or love you or accept you. Maybe you spend more money than you make, trying to fill some void on the inside. Or you drink too much, smoke too much, get high, trying to numb the pain. Maybe you get angry, you lose your temper, and you think that whatever that is, you think that's your problem. I would suggest that that, whatever that is not likely your problem. That is likely a symptom of your problem. And the real problem is very likely idolatry, that we're putting something in God's place. You may say, okay, I was with you the last two, but now you're getting in my business. You're starting to tick me off this time. And you might push back, and I get it. You might say, hey, I'm not battling with idolatry. I'm just enjoying my thing. Don't mess with my thing. This is my thing. It's not bad. This is my thing. You might say, my house is my thing. I love my family. I want to have a good house. I want everything to match. I want to be a good host. I mean, what's wrong with my house being my thing? You might say, my image is my thing. I want to look good. I want to be fly. When I walk in the room, I want people to say, she's God, he's God. You know, I want it to match. I want to look good. I want to take care of my skin. I want everybody to say, hey, yeah, you know, he looks good. It might be your kids. My kids are amazing. Have I told you about my kids? Your thing might be your kids. Your whole life is your kids. What's wrong with that? You might say, hey, of course. I want a boyfriend or a girlfriend. I mean, of course. I mean, like, what's wrong with that? Or, hey, so I'm into fitness. I should honor God, put my fitness. It's just my thing. don't mess with my thing. This isn't a bad thing. It's a good thing. And I want to say you might be absolutely right. Very possibly. Your thing, whatever that is, may not be a bad thing unless you're putting it before God. Unless you're putting it before God. And even good things become idols when they take God's place in your heart. Even if it's a good thing, it becomes a bad thing. It becomes more important in your life than God is in your life. So, if you're like me, you're going to raise a question like, so how do I know if my thing, my interest, is like inappropriate passion, or is it something that's becoming an idol? For example, you might really want to be good at your career. You're trying to succeed professionally. And you're saying, that's a good thing, right? Or am I like obsessed with it and it's become my identity? You might say, I love my hobby. I'm really good at video games. And besides, you can actually make money doing that today if you're really, really good at it. Or you're into fantasy sports and that's your release. Or you're just trying to grow your YouTube channel. Whatever it is, you're not going, it's okay, right? I mean, isn't it? Or do I love it too much? I love my kids, and sure, I've designed my whole life around them. I think I'm still married, but I haven't seen my spouse in several months because I'm pouring my life into my kids. That's okay, right? They're my kids. I'm supposed to do that, right? How do I know if my thing is an appropriate interest, an appropriate passion? Is it healthy? Is it harmless? Or is it an idolatrous and dangerous thing? What I want to do is I want to give the Holy Spirit just a chance to speak to you. And we're going to wrestle with three very, very important questions. And we're going to let God work on us through these questions. Question number one. We're going to ask, does this, my thing, whatever it is, does this lead me closer to God or distract me from God? This interest, my hobby, my passion, my thing, is it something that's complementary and blesses my relationship with God and helps me enjoy and appreciate Him and make a difference in other people's lives? Or is it so strong that it's actually taking me away from the heart of God and distracting me from putting Him first? Second question. Do I rely on this thing, whatever it is, more than God for my comfort, my identity, my worth? When I'm hurting or alone, do I go to this thing as my sole source of comfort? Or do I go to God, who is my comforter? Do I need this thing to have meaning in my life, or is God the one who gives me meaning? Third question. If God asked me to give this up, my thing, whatever this is, would I give it up without hesitation? If God asked me to stop, would I say, well, of course, God, if you're asking me to stop, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I would do that because I love you and I trust you? Or would you say, not that, God? No, don't make me do that. Let's look at him again and just ask yourself and let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Does this lead me closer to God or distract me from God? Do I rely on this more than God for my comfort, my identity, my worth? If God asked me to give this up, would I give it up without hesitation? And now I'm going to ask you, is God trying to show you something? Is God nudging you? The point at which you kind of get mad at me might be an indication of where God is reaching out to you. What's God trying to show you? If there's something more important than God in your life, acknowledge it. And if God is revealing something to you, listen to Him. Lean into it. Pay attention. Let Him convict you with a righteous conviction so you'll repent before Him and put Him first. And if you find yourself fighting back, oh, I shouldn't have come to church this week. Oh, I don't like this measure. If you find yourself defending your thing, No, you don't understand. You stay away from that thing. If you find yourself defending or you rationalize it, remember what you resist the hardest often reveals what controls you the most. Wherever you're pushing back, if you're pushing back, say no, not that thing. That may be the very thing that's in the place where God should be. So when you know you're putting something ahead of God, don't just fight the symptoms, attack the root. The root is idolatry. Call it what it is. Then if you recognize you're putting something ahead of God, what do? You don't just remove it. You replace it. You don't just take it away, but you put God first. Now, why haven't you done this? Why haven't you? Why haven't I? Why aren't we always putting God first? And the reason is we don't really want to, because we all pursue what we want most, don't we? We prioritize our time around what's most important to us. I mean, this is what I want, so this is what I do. And we try to get whatever it is, and we think, and the reason why God isn't first is because we don't want God that much. Why is it that deep down, so many of us don't really want God? And the reason that we don't really want God is because we don't know how good God really is. And the only way to know how good He is to put Him first. The only way to know how good He is to taste and see that the Lord is good, to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Above anything else, above your hobbies, your wants, your desires, your preferences, to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then everything else will be added unto you. You delight yourself in the Lord. You delight yourself in the Lord. And He will give you the desires of your heart. Not just as He gives you what you want, but He gives you His desires in your heart. So you want what He wants when you put Him first. Why don't so many of us want God? Because we don't know how good He really is. And the only way to know how good He really is to put God first. First priority of your life. So please, if there's something, anything distracting you from Him, replace whatever that is with more of Him. Because I promise you, He loves you. He cares about you. And God is not trying to take something from you. He's trying to give you something indescribably better. He's trying to give you Himself. He's the supreme Lord who still calls you friend. And He's not calling us to be Christian-ish, sort of, kind of. Well, I mean, I go to church every now and then. I kind of believe in God. Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm kind of Christian. You know, I kind of have faith and all. I want to go to heaven when I die. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. We're not going to love Him halfway. We're not going to put Him on the ground when there's not room for Him. God is a jealous God with a righteous covenant jealousy that's protective of you. A jealousy that says, love me with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. So the question's really, really simple. Are you ready? Like, are you ready? Are you willing? Are you ready? If He asked you to give it up, would you give it up? Whatever it is. Are you ready to put God first in your life? It's time to stop treating the symptom. It's time to attack the root. And the root is idolatry. Is anything we put before God. And we don't just remove the idol. We replace it with God. And the only way to know how good God is to put Him first.